south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, all of us expats, after living a while down here in Latin America, we start developing our own kind of pet personal theories about Latins and Latin society in general. I mean, theories you can't actually find in books and nobody's actually written down, but nevertheless, when we get together, we toss our theories around, stupid, idiotic, poignant or not, to see if they stick to the wall and other gringos can relate, or not. For example, about 6 months ago, expat Eddie said to me, "Johnny, you know, I have a theory about older Latins, really old Latins, the tough, wiry little guys you see around that are all wrinkled and shriveled up looking from age, with that really leathery skin from the sun. But other than that, they got more energy and stamina than gringos and old-timers up north who are 20 and 30 years younger." And I know what Eddie's talking about exactly. I see these guys around too, guys in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and even older. That includes equal numbers of women and men. Out in the boonies, they're all over the place. Out in the fields chopping brush or hauling bundles of wood or jugs of water on their backs or herding cows and goats. Just take a ride through the countryside and you see these guys all the time. And a lot of these guys up close look really old, even ancient. In fact, you just have to go to an art gallery in a big city and you can see these tough old ladies and guys are favorite subject of cosmopolitan, upscale, city-bred artists. In fact, some of these artists sell these kind of paintings exclusively to gringos and first world tourists. It seems in the art world, there's somewhat of a market for poor but happy indigenous kids on their native turf and very, very old indigenous old-timers still putting in a good day's work without the use of modern machinery. I'm sure you've seen photos and paintings like that. You might even own one or two. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why not take a photo or two of these guys? It really does capture a bit about how the other half lives. I mean, come on, these guys have 80 or 90 years of tough life written all over their faces. Yet, with all that never-ending hard work, they still seem quite happy. And that happiness, hard work, and old age thing was what I thought Eddie was going to touch on with his new theory, but I was wrong. And you know, 6 months ago when he first mentioned he had some kind of a new theory, I was curious, but he still wouldn't tell me because I laughed at his last theory. And so, he was a bit gun-shy about laying this one on me until he had some more evidence. At least, that's what he told me. Now, Eddie, like a lot of expats, has his unsubstantiated theories, half of them being cockeyed and the other half sometimes twisted but with a spark of brilliance. So, naturally, I wanted to know Eddie's new theory so I could have a good laugh, or not. But he wouldn't tell me. He said, "I'm still putting it together." So, anyway, 6 months passed and I forgot all about it. And so about 3 weeks ago, I was with Eddie when he bought a new car down in Salvador. Actually, not a brand new car. It was a three-year-old car. Actually, a four-wheel drive, gas-guzzling Jeep station wagon. And even though I'm not a big fan of Jeeps at all, not to mention in consumer reports, they almost always get low marks for reliability and maintenance costs and such. Latins, on the other hand, just love Jeeps because they don't read consumer reports. And they don't investigate anything like that on the internet. And they look cool. And Latins who have them think it's a very good gringo car, since it is made in America. It still is, isn't it? Anyway, there's quite a few of them down here, and they're no rarity, that's for sure. That said, Eddie did exactly what I recommend expats do. Never buy a new car unless it's practically the deal of a lifetime, and if it's brand new, it better be a car or a truck that's so basic and ugly that no one's going to want to steal it. Anyway, if you're a long-time listener to the show, you knew that already. Now, the reason why Eddie wanted a 4x4 was because he was so sick of bottoming out on tumalos and tearing up the underside of his car, since one of his workers had killed one of his earlier station wagons by tearing out the oil pan while going over one of those massive speed bumps way too fast. Anyway, after he got it fixed, he decided to sell his old Nissan station wagon, which wasn't a 4x4, which had a regular suspension system, of course, and after paying for that kind of repair, not once or twice, but three times, Eddie decided then and there that from now on he'd buy 4x4 vehicles exclusively. Why? Because they always have heavier duty suspension, a little bit bigger tires, and they ride a few inches higher than a two-wheel drive vehicle, so it's always a better bet if you bottom out on those Tumalo speed bumps once in a while. And that's not to say that Eddie's a wild and crazy driver. He always slows down at the speed bumps, and I've never been with him when he's scraped one. It's the fact that sometimes he lets his workers use his vehicles to pick up supplies and stuff, and not only do they nearly always overload the vehicle, they also nearly always drive way too fast for conditions. Just like a first world high school kid when dad gives him the keys to the car, Latin guys with your keys pull out of the driveway nice and slow and cautious. Then, when you're no longer in sight, they step on the gas and maybe lay a little rubber. Because remember, the average Latin lower or middle class guy, the guy that's working for you for $300 a month now, remember that he can't afford a car and yours is probably the only car he's ever driven. Thus, just like a teenage kid with his dad's car, well, just think about what you did under those circumstances. So, if you have a business and your employees have to use your car once in a while, that's another great reason not to have a nice one. So, Eddie's not the one that keeps trashing his cars, it's his employees. Not to mention, as Eddie's learned the hard way, and so have all of us expats, when you lend your car to a Latin person, no matter how well you know him or her, they not only drive fast and reckless, they completely trash the interior of your car too. So if you lend your car to a worker, you can be sure that the Coke bottles, the candy and McDonald's wrappers, and the sticky ice cream paddles from Dairy Queen will remain on the seat or the floor of your car. That is, the ones that they didn't toss out the window on the highway. And yes, I said Dairy Queen. They too have franchised out to Latin America. They've invaded here in a big way. Who'd have thunk, huh? And believe it or not, you'll find them mostly in upscale shopping malls. Go figure, huh? So if you got the urge, you can still get a dilly bar. And by the way, man, have those things shrunk. When I was a kid, they were as big as my head. So either dilly bars shrunk or my head got bigger, right? So, bottom line, if you have to let a Latin person use your car, give them the keys to the oldest piece of junk you've got. Now, that isn't to say there aren't some first world expats who will treat your car just as shabbily. I've got a brother like that. But as a general rule, Latins, well, just think of a gringo you know up north that you'd never let drive your car. Well, most of us expats think of Latin drivers that way. It's gotta be a cultural thing. Anyway, here's something else that Eddie said that kind of shocked me. He said, when he phoned up about this Jeep that was for sale in the classifieds in the big Salvador newspaper, the first thing this guy said was that it was a 2009 Cherokee with level 4 protection. And Eddie thought nothing of it. And when he went to test drive the thing, he asked how many miles it got to the gallon, or miles to kilometer down here. And the owner said it got about 25 kilometers to the gallon, which is about 16 miles to the gallon. Which seemed awful low to Eddie, till the guy said, that's because of the level 4. And Eddie was thinking, yeah? The level 4 what? Then finally, Eddie put two and two together. The car had level 4 bulletproofing. And actually, he should have known, because he ended up buying it from an upper-level government type who had two bodyguards with earbuds that probably didn't work. You know, the typical rags-to-riches government thief. And you know, they all have to have bulletproof cars. I mean, they're so damn important that everyone wants to take a pot shot at them, right? Yuck, yuck. And actually, it's nothing more than a pretentious sign of power. No one shoots at these guys in their cars. Oh, they have tons of enemies, all right. And it's all about dirty money and stuff. And since these guys are all tied in with narcos and under-the-counter deals, their enemies do take pot shots at them, but never in their cars. They usually do the Godfather thing and gun them down in a restaurant or a strip club when they're good and drunk. So Eddie soon learned that level 4 armored protection is basically the minimum armored package you can get, designed to stop nearly all small caliber handgun bullets. The problem was for Eddie, a car with level 4 protection like that puts about 800 pounds of extra weight on a car and kind of kills the gas mileage. Now, the extra weight didn't bother Eddie so much, but he said he wasn't going to pay extra for the privilege of having a bulletproof car since he's never had one before and wasn't paranoid enough to ever give a thought to it. And the fact is, in Latin America, the only people who do have bulletproof cars are narcos and pretentious government asswipes. Exactly the kind of people that should be used for target practice. Now, of course, buying a car is a big negotiation, and down here, Latins often jack their asking price up way beyond what they're willing to take. 30, 40, sometimes even 50% more than they'll settle for. Now, at first, Eddie didn't think this guy was going to budge, so he made it clear he wasn't going to pay extra for any kind of bulletproofing. Then, the guy told him, when a car's been bulletproofed and it's 4 or more years old, owners almost always dump them for the latest model. In other words, in an older car, the bulletproofing doesn't add extra value. It's like, you know, buying a newer version of an iPhone. No one wants to buy the older model, it just gets thrown in a drawer. And after all, when you think about it, these guys aren't buying their own bulletproof cars. The government is, with tax dollars, right? Oh, and by the way, that's another interesting thing about governments in Latin America. High-level government functionaries that get freebies like cars and iPads and the latest technology and stuff, when they get voted out of office or get caught red-handed doing something illegal and get stripped of their job and title, guess what? They're supposed to give all that stuff back to the government, but they don't. They almost always walk out of office keeping it all. The computers, the cars, the office furniture, you name it. So anyway, in the end, Eddie ended up buying the Jeep and didn't pay anything extra for the Level 4 armored stuff. In fact, the armored thing had some advantage. When one of these private bulletproofing companies starts work on a car like that, they beef up the frame and the suspension for all that extra weight, meaning those things can really take abuse. Exactly the kind of thing Eddie had in mind, since his workers were going to drive the thing once in a while. So anyway, about a month or so ago, Eddie and I are driving along in his 2009 bulletproof Jeep, and we're taking a little ride on the Pan-American Highway south through Salvador, then Honduras, and Nicaragua, on down to Managua, and more often than not, you hit quite a few detours on the way. We did, and that's normal. And you're forced off the main Pan-American Highway due to construction or natural disasters like fallen trees or washouts in the rainy season or the occasional boulder in the road. Oh, and speaking of boulders, when you drive the Pan-American Highway, you go through a lot of very flat territory and mountainous areas too. Now, when you're in those mountainous areas, you've got to really keep your eyes open. That's why I advise you never drive at night, since they've got road obstacles in Latin America you'll never believe. And I don't mean to scare you, but expect landslides. And I don't mean you're driving along and it's like in the movies, all of a sudden the mountainside collapses and you're buried alive in your car. The fact is, I've never seen or heard of that happening, except in Hollywood. But I have heard of chicken buses going off cliffs and killing all on board. You hear about that all the time. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, 42 people perished in Peru when a drunken chicken bus driver took the plunge like that. What I am talking about, and what you should be aware of, is the fact that every so often, you'll be driving along on a nice two- or four-lane stretch, and suddenly there'll be a big bottleneck of cars because half the road's been buried in a landslide, and the traffic's at a crawl, and cops are everywhere, and also a little capitalistic society has grown up where all the indigenous locals are trying to sell stuff car to car, like Coke and donuts and tortillas and mangoes and peanut brittle and even birds. Yep, birds. People will try to sell you nice, beautiful, talking parrots. Endangered species, of course, but hell, this is Latin America, right? Oh, and they'll try to sell you pirated gallons of gas, too. Yep, some of these people are lugging around plastic gallons, and it's always a little cheaper than at the pump, so if you're in need and you don't mind taking a chance on the quality, why not, but skip the parrots. You don't want to contribute to that sort of thing. And by the way, down here in Latin America, landslides are called derrumbes. Derrumbe, and it sounds just like it's spelled. In fact, I can't tell you the hundreds of times I've witnessed half a road covered with rocks. Sometimes there'll be a huge bottleneck of traffic with one lane open only for days at a time. And that's when these little capitalist clusters grow up around the site. So often, you do get shunted around the main highway for a half an hour or so. Sometimes you'll swing way out into the boonies, even on a dirt road somewhere, eventually rejoining the main road later. So where was I? Oh yeah, back to the story. Anyway, Eddie and I are taking a trial run in his new, lightly used, bulletproof Jeep. Way out in the boonies in the wide open spaces, Eddie pulls over next to a field where three really old-timers, wiry, leathery, skinny guys in dingy white cowboy hats are chopping away at the brush with huge machetes. Eddie pulled over, rolled down the window, and these three guys stopped what they were doing. And Eddie called out to the closest guy, who was about 20 feet away, and he said, "Buen trabajo, señor. Una pregunta, por favor." And the guy nodded, and Eddie said, "¿Cuántos años tiene?" And all that meant was, "Good work, mister. You mind if I ask you a question? How old are you?" And the guy smiled a big grin, and he said, 81 years old. And then Eddie asked him the same thing about the other two, and the guy answered, saying that the two guys were his cousins, and one was 79, and the other guy was 80 or 81. He didn't know for sure. And his cousin didn't know for sure either. And then Eddie said to the guy, and this is the key, "Are you better right-handed or left-handed with that machete?" In Spanish, you say, "Mano derecha o mano izquierda." And the little guy yelled out, "Lo mismo, los dos." which means the same. And he proceeded to show us by switching hands and chopping like a maniac with the left one. Then he switched hands and did another Edward Scissorhands for about 10 seconds and said, "Mira," which means look or see. Then Eddie asked him, "What about your cousins? Can they chop equally well with both hands too, like you?" Then the little guy laughed and said, "Nope. No one can chop as good as I can. My cousins over there, they can chop equally well with each hand, but both of them together can't chop as good or as fast as I can." And you gotta laugh. I mean, it was the typical Latin macho answer, right? So we laughed a bit, and Eddie said, "We won't bother you anymore. We'll let you get back to your work, senor." So we smiled and waved, and we're on our way. Now, as we started rolling, I turned to Eddie and said, "Eddie, what was that all about? Besides the fact that I bet we're the first gringos that guy ever spoke to in his whole 80 years of life." Then Eddie said, "81. 81 years of life, Johnny, and that's just my point." Then he said, "Johnny, remember about 6 months ago when I told you I had a new theory about Latin Americans? And I wouldn't tell you back then because I thought you'd laugh as usual? Well, I think I really stumbled on something here." And I was listening to him, of course, looking to punch a hole in anything he came up with. After all, what are friends for, right? He said, "You know, there's a lot of different angles to it. But you know how statistics always say that Latins live about 5 years or so less than North Americans? And of course, they're not talking about the quality of life here. But the fact is, Latins have a much higher mortality rate among their children than any first world country. So that in particular drags down the total mortality statistics and all the numbers you see from places like the UN and the World Health Organization, who monitor such things. And nobody's exactly figured out how much, but my theory has a number of angles to it. One is that once a kid reaches about 5 years old, he has no trouble at all living statistically as long as any first world person does. Probably even longer. Unless, of course, he lives in the big city and stuck in an overcrowded, bad neighborhood where there's a lot of gang violence, air and water pollution. Those kind of things. Now, of course, there's nothing revolutionary about that observation, but there was something that Eddie said that had a completely different twist on it. Now, Eddie and I and a lot of expats have occasionally mentioned that we almost never meet any old-time Latin Americans, really old-timers, guys 80 and over, let's say, with Alzheimer's disease. Or for that matter, you rarely meet anyone who's got a severe or chronic case of arthritis, heart disease, or cancer either. Maybe because down here they're less likely to talk about it or complain. Sure, these old guys and gals suffer from various medical conditions. I mean, when you get old, who doesn't? But like I've said before, very few of them are on some kind of permanent prescription medication. And you know, when I meet old people and talk to them, and I meet quite a few, they don't start telling me about how this and that is bothering them, and you just never hear that laundry list of complaints that you hear from first world people of the same age up in Cleveland. And the fact is, most very old people that I know, and many expats will tell you this, seem to be much happier than their counterparts up in the first world. Probably because they're living at home with the family and not stuck in nursing home, eating nursing home food, and kept continuously medicated so they won't get out of hand. By the way, nursing homes are not big businesses down here. With lower and middle classes, the old ones, the ancianos, great-grandma and great-grandpa, they live at home with the whole extended family. And upper middle class and wealthy Latins have their own live-in nurses for grandma and grandpa. And by the way, like I said, they're called ancianos down here. The word looks just like ancient in English, and that's what it means. Now, you don't hear that word, ancient, tossed around up in the States, referring to anyone that's actually still alive. Unless, of course, you're making fun of someone. I mean, they talk about ancient Egyptians and ancient Romans and ancient aliens, but they're all dead. Down here, very old people are simply ancianos. Ancient. In fact, the nursing homes and old folks' homes they do have down here are called casas de ancianos, meaning houses of the ancient ones. You know, it kind of sounds like a retreat up in Tibet where the Dalai Lama and his buddies hang out, huh? Anyway, it has a more respectful tone to it than nursing home, that's for sure. So anyway, what's up with the fact that there's practically no Alzheimer's down here in Latin America, except with certain sedentary old folks in the big cities? In fact, out in the boonies, where you see a lot of 80 and even 90-year-old folks out there in the fields chopping away, there's practically no Alzheimer's to speak of. And here's where we come back full circle to those three old ancianos that were chopping the brush in the fields where Eddie stopped his car. Now, I didn't know this, but it turns out that every so often, Eddie would stop an old-timer working away in the fields or carrying some load on his back, and he'd ask basically two things, the guy's age and if he was left or right-handed. And the surprising thing that Eddie found out was that nearly all the old men and ladies that he spoke to Most of them, by the way, he interviewed in the act of chopping brush with a big machete. Seems like everyone who's brought up in the boonies can wield one of those things like Zorro by the time he's 10 years old. That includes boys and girls. Now, originally, Eddie said he was curious if more of these old ancient guys were left-handed than right-handed, because Eddie's been checking out some journals from up in the States that say left-handed people are less likely to get Alzheimer's. Now, his aunt in Texas has Alzheimer's, and she's right-handed, and both Eddie and his mother are lefties. So naturally, Eddie has some interest in the subject. Anyway, he did not get the answer he was looking for. Instead, what he found out by interviewing some of these old-timers in Latin America was that nearly all these ancient old-timers in the field were ambidextrous with a machete. And naturally, they wouldn't be out there all day in the first place, chopping and hauling, if they had Alzheimer's. So the fact that most of them were ambidextrous adds another layer and a question mark to the whole thing about old age, hard work, mortality, and the onset of Alzheimer's. Now, I have to mention here that Eddie likes to point out that left-handed people are superior to guys like me. And I like to point out to Eddie that he's no good at all with a machete, and actually pretty dangerous, especially when he's had a few tequilas. If you ever meet him, go ahead and ask him how he got that big scar on his left leg. It's Eddie's machete equivalent of shooting yourself in the foot. So what about Eddie's theories about old guys, lefties, Alzheimer's, and machetes? Well, who knows, but it sure would make for a nice, interesting master's thesis or two now, wouldn't it? Only if you're going into the field to interview these guys, you'll have to sit down and drink some tequila with them. And I mean a lot of tequila. Because it seems that that just might be the other half of the longevity equation down here. Oh, and by the way, back to Eddie's level 4 bulletproof Jeep for just a second. This I forgot to tell you. A couple of days after he picked it up, Eddie had the upholstery professionally steam cleaned for sanitary reasons. Because after all, this was a fat, lazy government slug that he was buying it from. Okay, enough about that. But before I move on, I just want to remind all you expat wannabes and gonna-bes who are thinking about coming down to my January 2014 seminar in Central America, off the gringo tourist trail, of course. Just go to expatwisdom.com and on the main page, very near the top, you'll see it says Latin American Seminar. Just click on that and you'll get all the info. All right, now, here's something I never knew about Latin Americans when I first got down. The fact that they're extremely superstitious. And now that Halloween's coming, I think you ought to know some of this stuff. And by the way, they do celebrate Halloween down here, though. Only in somewhat upscale neighborhoods do kids actually go door-to-door trick-or-treating. That kind of stuff takes place mainly in gated, guarded subdivisions. Anyway, the stuff about breaking a mirror and getting 7 years bad luck, or a black cat walking across your path, or walking under a ladder, all that first world superstition stuff they picked up from us. From watching all that first world cable TV, of course. And all our Hollywood horror movies, too. You should also know that Latins have their own very strange brand of superstitions, too. Strange stuff we never heard about up in the States, that's for sure. To tell you the truth, even long-term expats like me never truly know the full extent of all these superstitions. And how certain Latins, especially the lower and middle classes, cling to them. Because as time goes on, once you think you've seen it all, you just haven't. For example, here's a couple of strange Latin superstitions I just found out about recently. Now get this. If someone sneezes, and a sneeze is called a distornudo here. Distornudo. Man, is that a tongue twister. Anyway, Latins think if they sneeze, somewhere, someone they know at that moment is making fun of them. In other words, laughing at them behind their back. So naturally, Latins don't like to sneeze much. How about this one now? If a Latin's right ear gets hot or turns red, and you know, that can happen sometimes, right? Anyway, that means someone somewhere is talking badly about them. Not just making a joke. They're saying something evil. What about the left ear? Well, if the left ear gets hot or red, that means just the opposite. That at that moment, someone somewhere is talking quite highly of them, giving them a compliment or two behind their backs. But that's not all, of course. If you get a wasp or a bee in your house, you're not supposed to kill it. You're supposed to shoo it out somehow. Because if you have a dead wasp or a bee in your house, that means in the next couple days you'll have very bad luck. Though I never could figure out if it was the person who found the dead wasp or bee who gets the bad luck, or the whole house gets bad luck. You get varying opinions on that. Even worse, if a black butterfly or a moth gets in your house, dead or alive, that means someone close to you is going to die quite soon. Now, if a bird somehow gets into your house, that's a very good sign, as long as it gets out alive. But if it dies, look out. That's very bad news, and you might as well put your house up for sale. But don't tell anyone, especially the realtor, that the bird died. Now, if you have your own pet bird in a cage and it dies, that doesn't count. It has to be a wild bird that got in somehow. Now, there are hundreds of Latin American superstitions, and I'm just going to touch on a few because it's Halloween, and these are the ones that are particularly amusing to gringos and expats. And that's why if you just hang around with gringos or live, work, and play in high-volume tourist areas like Cancun and such, you're missing out on all this crazy stuff. But if you have a Latin boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, or cleaning lady, after a while, you'll catch on. But like religion, don't tell them you don't believe, because it's like being the bad guy who has to tell the kid there's no Santa Claus. Now, here's one that ladies always observe, and I got caught in the middle of this one once or twice myself, and I instantly got yelled at for it. So I don't do it anymore, that's for sure. Anyway, Latin ladies never put their purses on the floor. They always put it on a chair or a bed or a countertop, because if you put it on the ground or on the floor, in the next few days, you're guaranteed to lose money. Latinas all believe that. So guys, if your Latin wife or girlfriend asks you to get her purse out of the car when you bring it into the house, if you want to get yelled at, put it on the floor. And by the way, if you're wondering why so many creatures fly into Latin homes so often, birds, moths, bees, wasps, even the occasional bat. And by the way, if a bat flies in the house, you might as well make a deal with the priest and the undertaker, because the whole house is going to hell. Unless, again, you can shoo it out of the house before it gets decapitated by the ceiling fan. So, why do so many outdoor flying creatures get into Latin homes? Well, that's because lower and middle class Latin families don't have screens at all. Even homes of the upper middle classes and the wealthy leak like sieves. And no one uses weather stripping either, so that answers that. Anyway, here's another one. If a Latin person goes to sleep at night and dreams of eating meat, that means you might as well not go to work the next day and stay in bed, because something bad's gonna happen. Now, here's one that'll throw you. It's my second favorite Latin superstition, and it goes like this. If a woman's pregnant and there's an eclipse of the moon or the sun that happens during her pregnancy, she's got to take a small yellow ribbon, tie it into a cross, and clip it to an undergarment during that eclipse, or else her baby will be born with some kind of a defect. Is that weird or what? And here's my favorite. After a child is born, soon enough, family, friends, and neighbors are going to come by and focus in on the cutest part of the baby, whether it's his hair, or his ears, or his face, or his eyes. Oops, I'm at the end again. Sorry about that. I'll pick this up right away on the next show.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.